We're talking to great Persian cooks today. But our next guest may honestly have spent more time cooking with pasta than pomegranates. You probably know Samin Nosrat from her fantastic book or Netflix show called Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. It's only been, what, 2 years since she wrote that book? But I honestly think it's impossible to imagine the food world without her right now. She's literally shown millions of people how to see cooking in a new way through what she's learned mostly in French and Italian kitchens. But she's also the child of a Persian immigrant family, so we wanted to have her in to talk about the cooking she grew up with. Samin, it's so great to see you.
Oh, Francis, thanks so much for having me.
I have good news.
What is it?
The good news is we're not going to typecast you as the salt, fat, acid, heat lady today.
Oh, thank you. That's great news.
The possibly bad news, we're going to typecast you in another way.
Okay, cool.
Because you happen to grow up with Persian food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a casual observer, I guess, one of the things I've always felt was so interesting about Persian food, and to me seemed like maybe a defining characteristic of Persian food, is the use of herbs. What do you feel is like the Persian cook's perspective on herbs?
I think the definitive thing is that herbs are a main ingredient and not just a garnish in our cooking. And so they're the main thing that my mom shopped for when I was little. And there were entire, you know, it was like she had a mental map of which stores had which herbs.
Oh, wow.
and they had herbs, you know, in nice bunches. Yeah. And I didn't really know this, but in Iran, herbs are not sold by the bunch. They're bought by the kilo.
Oh, man.
You know, which is like six bunches.
2.21 pounds of dill.
Yeah. And I remember that from the role herbs played in our home kitchen and the way that every Iranian woman I know, it's always the women, is like, if only there wasn't this much chopping involved in Persian cooking. And the chopping almost always is of herbs.
Yeah.
It's just mountains and mountains of it, of herbs of different kinds that get cooked down into our food. And I think that's the other big thing. So one is the sheer amount of herbs used, and the other is the fact that most of the time they're cooked in a way that in the West, I feel like herbs are for, you know, chopping and sprinkling raw on top of your salad or on top of
finish it with a chiffonade of basil.
And exactly.
A teaspoon of basil for the whole platter or whatever.
Exactly.
Tell me about cooking the herbs.
Well, there are sort of two main ways that herbs are used in Persian cooking. So one is when we sit down to a meal, no matter what meal it is, there's always a big platter or basket of fresh herbs at the table. It's called sabzi khordan. Sabzi is the word for herbs, and sabz is the word for green. So it's just like green things.
Yeah.
It's just a big pile of green stuff.
Yeah.
So my mom always took great care in sort of coming home and washing the herbs, and then she always had them ready to go into one of two directions. It would either be on the table for the sabzi khordan, or more likely it would become something that she chopped and cooked into a stew or into the frittata that we call kuku sabzi or into a soup. And sometimes even they would be folded into rice and then sort of steamed into the rice. So you get these beautiful green rices.
Oh, yeah.
And the way that an herb transforms when you cook it is basically indescribable. You know, it's something completely else. And so to me, when I sprinkle the chopped herbs on top of a dish, say, you know, like in Italian cooking, when you might make gremolata, like of chopped parsley and lemon zest and garlic, and you put that on top of your risotto, it's to freshen it at the last moment, right?
Right.
But when you take that same parsley and you sizzle it until it breaks down, it becomes something else. It gets sweet and the fragrance totally changes. You know, raw spinach, when you eat your raw spinach salad, it's sweet and delicate and very light. But when you cook spinach, the flavor becomes a lot richer. And the same thing happens when you sizzle herbs.
So I've never thought to do that with herbs, in part because I have this understanding that herbs have, you know, their flavor is too delicate to be messed with or too strong in some cases that you want to overwhelm with the herbs. But when you cook them, the really high floral notes kind of disappear.
Mm-hmm. But I think what's funny about that is I was trained by Western cooks to think that that's the most special part of an herb is that delicacy and that lightness. And so it's sort of like an untraining of your mind to understand that these other flavors are also really valuable. I mean, I can't remember if you and I have talked about this or if I was talking about it with somebody else, but The other thing I really love is all of the parts of the herb we use in Iranian cooking. And a lot of other cultures even use more parts. Like in like a lot of Southeast Asian cuisines, they use the root, like cilantro coriander root, which has a really amazing taste. I remember when I was a little kid that I would go visit my grandparents on Saturdays. My grandma would always cook us a big Persian meal.
Yeah.
And her neighbors were Filipino. And so I'd be playing in my grandma's garden in the backyard while she got our lunch ready. And there was always these smells coming from the neighbor's house that I was like, what are those very strong smells? And I was like, I don't like it. It's too intense. And everyone in my family loved those smells. It was the smell of like coriander seeds and cumin seeds frying. And so all of these different cultures have come along and figured out these different ways of using the entire plant and all of the different parts of it in different ways to extract these different flavors.
Yeah.
There's so much value in that. Yeah. And I even think about in the sort of fancy kitchens where I came up, we never were to use the stems. It was only the leaves of things like parsley and cilantro. Mm-hmm. And then at some point I met somebody, I can't even remember who said, why would you throw away the cilantro stems? They're the sweetest, most flavorful part. So then I started tasting them. And it's incredible. The flavor, like the best flavor of cilantro comes not from the leaf, but from the stem.
Mm.
And so now I just always chop the whole bunch. And I mean, it's easier too. Yeah. And so to me, I mean, herbs define my cooking and they define the cooking of my childhood. And it's kind of like now my signature thing is I always just like add a handful of herbs on top of everything.
So in your professional being, you were informed by people who said things like, well, no, the stems are not worth anything. But then when you were growing up, you were taught by your family who said, you know,
we use the whole thing.
We use the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So did you ever feel like what my family taught me was obviously wrong because it's not the great chef telling me that?
Or... Of course. Everyone does that, right? First of all, no matter where you're from or who you are, you want to reject what your parents taught you at some point and believe that everyone else knows better. So, of course, I went through that. And, of course, I also went through shame, you know, thinking that, oh, our culture is not refined. Our culture, you know, doesn't have this exquisite cuisine and only, you know, this French and Italian and Western European stuff that I'm learning at work has value. So, but I had to sort of unbrainwash myself out of that and come around to understanding of that, of course, like all cultures have value, all cuisines have value. And also pretty much all cuisines, except for perhaps the ones here in the U.S. have like centuries and even millennia of history.
Right.
And now I'm so proud of all of these different parts of me. And I feel like for a while I felt like I wasn't measuring up as a Western cook. For my whole life, I felt like I don't measure up as an Iranian cook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as good as my mom or my grandma or when I try and make stuff. Like if I do make stuff, I'm like, oh, they would roll their eyes at this one.
I feel
or
that way. Cooking
raise
Chinese
an
food.
Eyebrow. Yeah.
For sure.
So, and it's only in the last few years that I've come to a place where I feel like I understand, oh, I'm both of these things. I'm all of these things.
Yeah.
I am a Californian. I'm an Iranian. I'm a kid who has always loved to eat. I spent a lot of my time in Italy. And as a cook, probably more than anything else, I identify as an Italian cook.
Sure.
So everything that I've learned sort of has made me. And I'm now finally like comfortable admitting who I am.
Yeah. Samin, it was great to have you in.
Thanks so much for having me. It was so fun to be here.
Samin Nosrat is the author of Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat on Netflix and also the author of the book of the same name. She gave us a recipe for Persian herb and cucumber yogurt, and we talked more, actually, about how she makes this super herby frittata called kuku sabzi. You can find that conversation and that recipe at splendidtable.org.